welcome to another episode of Meeting Pros. I'm your host, Kevin Finn. And as usual, in the studio with me is my lovely co-host, Jessica Park. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely fabulous. Anything new in your world?
I won the award for best sweets tables yesterday. It was by the wedding industry experts. That was very cool.
Congratulations.
Yeah. That was exciting.
Did you give an acceptance speech?
No. No, but I definitely told my fan base about it. I was like, look, I won.
Awesome.
Well, yeah.
We have a great show with us today. We have a bunch of people that were all at the Alley Awards, which was an absolute blast.
Yeah.
So who do we have here today?
We have Lori McQuarrie with Destination South Meetings and Events. We have Marna Friedman with Impression Solutions. And we have Sharon Hochdorf with Button It Up Events.
Awesome. Well, I think we're going to start with Marna. Welcome, Marna.
Thank you.
So I just found out this isn't your first time at Business Radio X Studio.
No, it's not.
You had the pleasure of being with Lee and Stone.
Yes.
Well, I'll try to make them proud. But tell us a little bit about Impressive Solutions, which I love how it's spelled. It's spelled with an M, and then it's Impressive. So
yes.
I absolutely love that.
I basically work with businesses, helping them with strategic solutions on how to leverage technologies and move their businesses forward.
Okay. So how do you do that? Walk me through sort of an engagement.
Basically, I start with what are they currently doing, what do they think is missing, and then what are they willing to commit to?
Well, I have to think maybe they have to start with something like a website maybe?
Yes.
So if I come to you, I need a website. I used to do video work. I need a website to show off my video portfolio. What are you going to tell me to do?
I basically ask you to think about three questions.
Okay.
What are your must-haves? What are your like-to-haves, and what are your, oh, my God, I wish I could.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah,
and those are the three questions that I make you think about before I will even do a proposal, because what I find is that a lot of people hire a web developer to develop a website, and the web developer says, well, what is it you want? And then they build them a website, and then I get them, you know, 3 months later, where they come to me and they're like, okay, so I just spent all this money on this website and it doesn't do this and it doesn't do this and it doesn't do this. And oh, by the way, I'm out of money.
Yeah.
Yes.
So trying to figure out how to then move them forward.
Definitely. Yeah, I think people do get a start on their website and think that they'll add the things they really need later, and that may not be the most productive way of doing it. Yeah.
Right. And if they're strategic, they can usually have either all of it at the beginning or have it where the functionality is there or can easily be added, as long as you know about it when you're building the website.
Well, also, a lot of these people, myself included, don't know what they want in their website or what functionality they want.
Right.
And they go there. I used to deal with it all the time in the video world. People would be like, make this video for me. I'm like, all right, what do you want? And I was like, I want razzle dazzle. And I'd be like, oh, I got it. I'm fucking razzle. I was like, what is razzle dazzle? So.
Yeah, yeah. So I just spoke to somebody yesterday, and she was like, oh, I can do that? And I'm like, yes. And,
yes.
You know, people don't think about putting testimonials on their website.
Right.
And then they come to you afterwards, and they're like, somebody told me I should have testimonials on my website. Well, that would really be a very good idea, since you have a business and you want people to talk about
exactly.
you.
An accolades page is
and
super
so,
important.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people don't think through what the options are. And it's so much better to know about that up front.
Definitely. How about mobile? Like, how do people get websites and go straight to mobile? Or
I use WordPress.
Okay.
WordPress is
we do too with our website.
Yes, you do. WordPress is the platform of choice, and I am not a huge believer in most of the businesses that I deal with can't maintain their website, and then they go out and they hire somebody and they say, okay, I need a mobile site, and I'm like, okay, but you can't maintain your website, so now you've got two. Mm-hmm. So which one are you going to focus on? So I build all of the websites as responsive. That means that a responsive website responds to the technology it's being viewed on. So like the Alley Awards website, we rebuilt that this year, and it's a responsive website. So if somebody's looking at it on a smartphone, it comes up on their smartphone. If they're looking at it on a tablet, it comes up on their tablet. So all of the same functionality exists no matter how they're viewing it. So they only have to maintain one website.
Yeah, I bet that helps them out a lot. But that's something goes back to the planning phase, that you want to plan for that instead of you get to a point where you're like, well, now I need it on mobile. Well, okay, well, now you have to build another website and you have to update both.
And a lot of people think about the fact that there are mobile plugins for WordPress, so they just add a plugin to the website, and now it's mobile, and that's great. But what happens when that plugin isn't being maintained any longer?
Exactly.
So now your website breaks, and now you're up the creek because you don't know how to make it work. So that's why I'm a firm believer that you do it all in one.
Well, speaking of WordPress, it's mostly a blogging site, but everyone's using it to make their websites now. What do you feel about blogs with websites, if blogs are even necessary, or do you not even like that word blog? It's just,
no, yeah. I think blogging is really important. I actually just spoke about that last week at another conference. And I think that one of the biggest things that businesses need to do is engage their audience. And so I'm a firm believer that blogging is very important. And when you use WordPress, one of the things that a lot of businesses do is they'll build a blog page using WordPress, and then they'll link it to their website. And one of the interesting things is that if I go to a lot of websites and I click on their blog page, now I'm on their blog page, and I have no way to get back to the website.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when you use WordPress, the blog page is a page of your website. So
yeah.
Your menu doesn't change. You're navigating one platform. Everything is self-contained.
Yeah, you're not leaving the website.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Which isn't really what you want. You want them to stay on your website as long as you can.
Right, right.
I'm going to have to send WordPress an invoice for this for this show. So another thing that people are doing, especially with events and different venues, is they're making actual apps where people can actually go in there and answer questions or respond to the speaker. How do you feel about that? Or is that the future? Is that a trend?
I think it's a trend at the moment. I think that... one of the things, when I speak to a lot of people, they'll say, oh, I want an app for my event. And they'll go out and they'll hire somebody to build them an app for their event. And it's not cheap. And one of the things that I question at the end is, what was the ROI? What was your engagement on the app? Was it worth it? If you look at the Twitter stream during a lot of different events, you will see that if you have... an event where there's 1,000 attendees, you might have 20 or 30 people tweeting. So
right.
If only 20 or 30 people are tweeting, what's the return on an app? That means only...
Very high.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, I was at an event last year in New York at Javits, and this was one of the sessions that I was at last week. We were all talking about this, is that Javits is a union facility, mm-hmm. which is fine, but it doesn't offer regular electricity. It uses what's called union, what I call union electricity. So our equipment,
stop at 5 o'clock every day?
Well, our equipment doesn't plug into it. So we can't just go over and plug our, charger in and charge our phones and things. So they had hired a company to do an app, and they had also decided to take a section of Javits and create a social media lounge where people could tweet and share information on Facebook and things like that. Well, there was nowhere within that lounge even to charge my cell phone.
That seems like a big oversight.
Yeah.
So I tweeted about it. And
I bet they love that.
Nobody was monitoring their social media. So now you've got an app, you've got social media, and you want all of these things. And I talk about this when I talk at different events. And so you want all of these components, but what are you – it goes back to the planning, goes back to the strategy. What are you doing about monitoring it? Do you have somebody who's monitoring your social media account? Are they following the tweets? Are they following the Facebook posts? Are they engaging? Or are they just – signing up for an account, hoping that their name gets mentioned out there, hoping that other people are doing it. Well, if you are the event planner and you're the person who's facilitating all of that, then you have to make sure that somebody is monitoring what the engagement is.
Definitely.
They had an app,
certainly.
And the app wasn't updated. So when there were issues with vendors who were exhibiting that didn't come to the trade show to exhibit, well, their information was in the app. So now you're walking around going, okay, I'm looking for this booth. Where are they? Okay, there's nobody here. There's no sign. There's nobody. But it was in the app. Well, nobody had updated the app. So
yeah.
All of those pieces come together. So everybody wants to do everything, and that's great if you have the people to manage all of it. If you're just getting started with social media, hiring somebody to do your social media is not a good move. because your social media is your voice.
Right.
Definitely.
And somebody can't speak for you. So unless you're willing to make a commitment that this is the social media platform that I'm going to participate on, and this is the social media platform that I'm going to make a commitment to engage with everybody on and share information and build a community. And then as you become a participant on one platform, then grow into another. But don't think that you're going to be on Facebook and Twitter and Google and Pinterest and all of it all at once when you can't even maintain the website.
Exactly.
Right.
I completely agree.
Yeah. It's very involved. I mean, I'm on all of them, and I manage several different people's social media, so I see it from both sides. And I know that even though I am managing their social media, I do want them to be engaged in their page mm-hmm. as well, because it's very important
right.
that their voice is there, because that's what the audience is looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think another problem is that all this social media stuff has become buzzwords, like the cloud, all these different things. So you have these people that don't know what it is, and they're like, well, I need an app. I need this Twitter thing. And they say they throw that out there, and then they just want to get it all, and they think, all right, I'm set. I've got it now. It's in play, and they don't really realize how much of an animal it really is.
Right. And the downside of it is that it's like any other business, because there's people out there who say, I'm going to give you a website, and I'm going to do it, and this is what it's going to be, and it's going to do all of this. And you're so anxious to get it done that you don't vet that person. I mean, we as a society don't vet any of our service providers. Mm-hmm. We don't vet doctors. We don't vet, car mechanics. We don't vet it. We just take people's word. We find out that we need something, and we go and we get it, and then we turn around and we're like,
no way.
Oh, that really wasn't something that I should have done. So if everybody just takes a step back and takes a breath and says, okay, where do I start?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all the social media platforms aren't for everybody. Just because they're out there doesn't mean they're right for your business,
And the problem is that they don't, it's not even a matter of not right for your business. It's a matter of not even knowing how to do it. I mean, my biggest pet peeve on social media are the people who try to sell me something. You join and, so you go to Facebook and you join these networking groups, and the next thing you know, the Facebook group has, 1,000 people on it, and all I do is get an inbox full of things that mm-hmm. say,
buy this.
And I'm like, I don't even know you. And what have you done to engage me? What
exactly.
have you done to teach me what it is that you do so that I know what it is that you do? And
right.
so I've taken a step back, and I've unjoined groups, and mm-hmm. I've, separated myself from different things because it's not engaging. And so that's my biggest pet peeve when I speak to people and I say to them, listen, it's about engagement. It's not about selling. So there's no megaphone here. Talk to people like you would at the dinner table. And if you can't figure out how to do that, then this is not the platform that you should be on.
Right. So which platforms do you think meeting planners should be on?
I think it depends on the meeting planner. I think it's not good to make a general
sure.
statement. I think that meeting planners should probably be on Twitter, because I think Twitter is a great platform for events, because people can follow hashtags and it's quick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great for engagement of what's going on at an event, especially when you're not at the event.
Right.
So I think Twitter's a real big one. I think Google+, because I think Google+ is a good B2B platform. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of Facebook. For me, Facebook is my space. It's my personal space. So I know a lot of people have pages, but what I find is that after I go to an event, I get this list of people who want to be my friend on Facebook. And I'm like, I don't think you really want to know what, my nephew and, my niece and, all these other people are doing. And so I might like your page,
mm-hmm.
but what I find is that event planners will put up a page for an event, and then after the event is over, so's the page.
Yeah, exactly.
Until the next event. So do I really want to like that page? So I think Pinterest, if you are an event decorator,
mm-hmm.
I think Sharon, for the photos, I think Pinterest is amazing.
Yeah.
It's a great platform. It's very visual. But by the same token, you have to learn how to leverage it, and it's not just visual.
Yeah.
You have to add content to it so that people know how to use it. So I think those, you know, Twitter and Pinterest and Google Plus are like, I think, the best for the event industry.
Mm-hmm.
I think what's going to start happening is I think you're going to start seeing a lot of internal social networks.
Definitely.
That are industry related, and that where people can share information internally with people within an industry. So I think that's going to be the next big growth, where there will be people are going to be like, I need to network with the people in my business. And so they're going to want that internal communication mm-hmm. system.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be the next big thing. Well,
I think you're already starting to see that with these niche groups popping up. I know in the last 2 months, Facebook's lost over 9 million mm-hmm. users, and it's really starting to go down. So I don't think the social media trend is going away, but people want to be more directed towards what they're actually interested in.
Well, and that becomes the big frustration for me, because I'll have people who come to me and they're like, well, I have a Facebook site. And I'm like, you know what? That's great.
That's great.
Hey. Great. Good for you. What do you do when Facebook doesn't exist anymore? And, oh, by the way, why are you sending all your traffic to Facebook? Because now you have no SEO.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
So what are you going to do if, you know, if your business, that's great for Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But why don't you have your own business website and link it to Facebook? And mm-hmm. so you there can share a separate platform.
Right.
And so it always amazes me.
Definitely.
So, because like I was at, MEC last week, and I was talking about blogging, and one of the things that I always did was I had a Google Reader, so I would always put things in my Google Reader, and Google Reader will cease to exist, I think, next month.
It's
going away. So
wow.
What do you do? You know, so you become so dependent on this platform, and mm-hmm. then it ceases to exist. And so you've got to, you know, go back in, and I'm like, oh, my God, I've got 1,000 things in my Google Reader that I haven't read yet, and I've got to figure out how I'm going to read them and find them and put them
away. Well, there are new
away.
Platforms out
yes.
where you can just import
yes.
all your stuff.
I know.
So, luckily.
Right. But that, you know, so that's kind of the argument mm-hmm. I use for Facebook, is that, you know, it's a social platform, but you never know when it's going to be acquired by somebody else and
definitely.
Cease to exist. And it's not their responsibility to maintain your website
right.
and maintain your web presence.
Well, the internet is the new West. Well, what's the future of event planning look like through a technology standpoint?
You know, it's interesting. We had a session last week at the conference, and we talked about that. And I am a firm believer, you know, paper's never gone away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as everybody says we're all going to go green and we're going to go paperless, it has not ceased to exist.
That's true.
And I do a lot of publishing, and you know, people are like, well, I want an ebook. And I'm like, you know what? That's really great. When was the last time you read an ebook? And so they're like, but I have to have an ebook. Okay, but when was the last time you read an ebook? And ebooks are great, and they represent 28% of the book industry, but that still leaves 72%. So print books didn't go away,
mm-hmm.
and the platforms that were used to create the first ebooks did. So now those books that were published with that first platform, those books don't exist if that's how the only way that they were published.
Mm-hmm.
So now those people that published those ebooks have to figure out how to publish them on a new platform, because the ebook platforms keep changing, because the way we read ebooks keep changing.
Definitely.
Wow.
So, but a print book is a print book
mm-hmm.
is a print book. I mean, that's,
well,
that's
people like holding their hands in the smell. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
we still have libraries and we still have bookstores, and, you know, so people are still printing books. So I think that there will never be, you know, conferences will never go away. And, you know, I think what you're going to start seeing is you will start seeing more virtual events, you know, where people will be like the smaller events will become more virtual.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that the event industry will cease to exist. You know, we were in a down economy for, you know, how many years, and people still got married, and there were still weddings, and people still had babies, and there were still, you know, bar and bat mitzvahs,
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, still graduation parties and still birthday parties. So event planners still survived. I mean, their business may have changed,
mm-hmm.
and they had to revamp their budgets and what they were offering. And we had to kind of take a step back and reassess what we were doing And I think that that's just the way things are.
Definitely.
But, you know, websites used to be, you know, $100,000 and to build an app used to be over $1 million. So all of those things have changed and every industry has been affected. But I think that it's if you're good at what you do and what you do offers value, it's not going to go away.
I completely agree. Well, Marna, how do our listeners reach out to you and get in touch with you?
They can go to my website. It's Impressive Solutions, and obviously no I. So it's impressive, without the I, solutions.com. And they can email me. And there is a link at the bottom of the Alley Awards website, so they can go to the Alley Awards website and click and get to my website.
Definitely. Awesome. Well, next up on Meeting Pros, we have Sharon Hochdorf. Did I butcher that, or did I get it right this time, or...?
It's close.
It's close.
Well, close. Let's clear it up. Let's clear it up officially. Okay. Tell us
it's
how
to. It's actually Hochdorf.
Hochdorf. Okay. It wouldn't be a Meeting Pros show if I didn't butcher someone's name. So.
I did it too. As soon as it came out, I was like, oh.
So, Sharon, I know you were running the photo booth over at the Alley Awards. It looked really cool. I saw mustaches. I was a little jealous. I didn't get a chance to get up in there. So,
I know.
Tell us a little bit about your company.
Okay. I'm Sharon, and we own a company called Button It Up, and we've been in business for 26 years, and we do photo ops, and photo ops are essentially anything that is printing photos on site. So at the Alley Awards, we did our green screen photos, and we had our photo booth, and with the green screen photos, it was great because we were able to follow the theme completely, which was butterflies, nature, and so we used our green screen technology to put you in a nature scene with picture frames that you could put around you and you can stick your head in that had butterflies attached. And
you had Viking hats and great sunglasses and all kinds of props too.
We are finding that props is 100% that makes the photo op.
Definitely.
And no matter what the event is, you just have to follow it with the props. So for instance, at the Alley Awards, we had butterflies everywhere. We had flowers, like it looked like you were picking flowers in the garden. Mm-hmm. So we had all those kinds of neat photo ops. And then in the photo booth, we had we have four pictures and at the bottom you have your logo. And then of course we had props for that as well. Mm-hmm. Last night we did an event. It was great. It was a speakeasy event.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
And it was wonderful. And so we utilized our green screen technology to put people in scenes with black and white photos, sepia photos. We had props that were the 20s theme. So we had the correct hats. We had the boas. We had, the little... I can't remember what they're called, with the feather in the hair. Mm-hmm. And so it was quite fun. And then they had a raid, as if there was a raid in the Roaring 20s.
Exactly.
And then we had a magazine cover that came out, or a newspaper cover that was like the old-time newspaper.
Right.
So for the rest of the evening, you were on the newspaper that said that this particular company was raided in their speakeasy bar. So, it was very fun. So the beauty of photo ops is that we're there to provide a party favor or marketing piece for a company. So essentially, we personalize everything. Everything's about personalizing the photo with the company logo, if it's a corporate event, their trademark. There might be a sponsor, so we would put the sponsor's name on the photo. So if it's a trade show, you're giving it away as a marketing tool.
Right.
If it's a corporate event, you're giving it away as a marketing tool / gift.
Mm-hmm.
And we just create the fun of the party.
Definitely. Everyone seemed to be having a blast over there.
So. Yeah, once the props hit the dance floor, that was when it got really crazy.
That was crazy. I saw Viking hats on the dance floor. It was awesome.
Yeah, it's very, very fun. And, you can't replace the fun of photos. We also provide flipbooks at events. So the flipbooks is the same thing, except that you come over to our flipbook station. You create like a little 7-second video. We put it into a little flipbook, and when you finish, you have a flipbook to take with you that has, you flip through it, and that little 7-second video you just did is now in a flipbook.
That's so cool. How long does that take to produce a flipbook? How fast can you guys do it?
Really within 45 to 60 seconds.
What?
You know, it's really, really fast.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
How'd you come up with this idea? How do you decide this is what I want to do? Because I think anyone would be like, hey, do you want to be a lawyer or do you want to run a photo booth? I think kids would be like, all right, photo booth, let's do that.
Well, interestingly enough, when we started 26 years ago, my parents actually were in the event industry. My father was a caricature artist, and they started doing photo ops at different venues. Mm-hmm. So when I had my first child, I decided this would be a great thing to do part-time while I'm raising my children. And little did I know that 25 years later, it would be more than full-time.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's – and you know what? We love it. It's just a fun – we're always in a fun atmosphere. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always a party or a special event, or it's just always making people smile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I can imagine it's also fun to see all these corporate people on a corporate event. You bring that in there and they turn into teenagers again.
Yeah. Do you know what? We actually find we do a lot of kids' parties. We do a lot of bar and bat mitzvahs, but we do a lot of corporate events also. And I have to say, the adults almost are – I shouldn't say almost. The adults are 100% more fun than the kids, mm-hmm. because I think it does turn them into a child.
The kids are probably a little more reserved about it.
They are, which is really interesting where the adults, and I don't know if it has to do with alcohol.
I know, I was going to say, liquid courage helps.
But, the adults just have a great time. It doesn't matter what kind of event, even if it's a corporate event. We just did one where we were at a trade show and people hopped on a lawnmower at a propane convention, hopped on a lawnmower, and we had them like hanging off the lawnmower, you know. So, and then we printed those, and of course, it was for a company, and they just had a ball, and just so funny to see them in this suit where mm-hmm. they're walking around, you know, and all of a sudden they turn into a kid. Right?
Exactly. Well, I felt like I was back at like my high school prom at the Alley Awards. It was great. It was such a blast.
Yeah, it was. Everybody had a great time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very fun.
What's the hardest part about this business? There's got to be some things that are difficult about it.
I think the hardest part is number one, the challenge of keeping up with all the new technology. One of the newest things is being able to Facebook, tweet, and email your picture immediately. So we have this new thing that you put it onto an iPad. It's actually not that new anymore. It's been around for about a year. But your picture goes straight from the computer that you're working on, because essentially what happens in you take the picture, it goes into a computer, then you send the picture directly to an iPad.
Okay.
And right from the iPad, you can tweet, Facebook, or email the picture, mm-hmm. which is phenomenal, but keeping up with the technology and how fast things are moving is the biggest challenge. And then, of course, the only other challenge is keeping up with the artwork and always being creative and what can we do to make this fit perfectly and the props fit perfectly. And it really is a challenge because we try to make everything so personalized that every party is not the same.
Definitely.
We always want our photo ops to be like a key part of the event.
Well, you guys have been around for 26 years and technology has changed drastically in 26 years. I want to sort of hear about that, but also it's got to help a little bit. Has the technology helped you guys a lot? A lot faster.
It's amazing. I mean, we print out a picture in 7 seconds. And so we can have a party of, well, first of all, we have 5 green screen stations or photo op stations. So we can do as many as 5 in an evening. So if there's 1,000 people there, we can provide, if there's 5,000 people there, we can provide photo ops when you have that kind of speed. Also, the way things have changed, it's amazing. When we first started, you didn't even have digital. So we did it with a video camera, and we pushed a piece of paper into a printer, and you had to stop everything in slow motion. And so the technology has made things much, much easier. There's no doubt about that. But the speed is incredible. And like I said, keeping up with technology is the biggest challenge because it is constantly moving and changing, as we know. And
definitely. Well, I imagine you have some great stories from running a photo booth. Any you want to share with us?
We do have some great stories. Anything from us doing weddings to bar mitzvahs and keeping the kids clean in their pictures. You know, they might want to hold a beer bottle, and we're like, no, 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 no. We do have some fun stories. I'm trying to think. Some of the best events that we've done, we do meet and greets, and we work for a couple of big companies that provide meet and greets for their for their clients. So, for instance, with the Final Four being here, we did about 5 different events, and everything was meet and greet and step and repeats. Mm-hmm. And step and repeats has gotten to be huge because it's like that red carpet, and you come on the red carpet and you get your picture with your celebrity, whether it be a Jane Fonda. These are some of the ones that we've done. We've done Jane Fonda's party. We've done Ted Turner's party. We've done 50 Cent's at a Macy's event. You know, so
all the celebrities,
a lot of different celebrities, and it's just fun. And we just have funny stories with some of the celebrities and what they do. I just got picked up by one of the celebrities at a party, and he was just I'm taking the picture, and he just got so into me taking the picture that he was like, okay, it's your turn. You have to get in this picture. And he just like swooped me up and picked me up in a picture. And we just have funny stories.
That is great. Well, I have to think, how do you go to market? How do you find business? Are you part of any organizations, or how do you do business?
You know what? Organizations are one of the key parts of being in the event industry. We're a member of NACE, which is National Association for Catering Executives. We're a member of ISES, which is International Special Event Society. And then as far as other memberships, I just go to different functions. There's a wedding organization. There's Meeting Planners International. I participate in a lot of those events. We showcase our photos at a lot of those events, just like the Alley Awards. We were part of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, being in the business for 26 years, a lot of it is word of mouth. I don't do a lot of advertising anymore. And, of course, we have a website. But really, it's word of mouth. You know, if you do a really good job, which we try so hard to 100% do a great job, and our photos being top quality, your name is going to get around.
Yeah.
And so that's really how we've built the business.
Awesome. Well, what does the future hold for you guys?
The future is just continuing to do just a great job at our parties, and just, you know, I think the amazing part is the event industry is the most exciting, like, phenomenal work that I can ever imagine. Even if I was not in the photo industry any longer, I think I would be a part of the event industry. The event planners are just amazing. They come up with, and the decorators are amazing, and the things that they develop from a nothing room into this fabulous event, and just being a part of
it's
magical. Yeah. It absolutely is magical.
Have to have that kind of passion to be in it, I think, because it's all the time, all go, every weekend. You have to have that passion to stay in the business as long as you have.
Well, they're all fun people, too. They know how to party also.
Yeah.
We are really fun people. I think we work really hard, though. It's definitely not a 9-to-5 job.
No,
it is
all.
A 24/7 job. And you have to really do. You really have to like it. And
I'd say you have to love it, not just like it.
You're right. You have to love it.
Well, Sharon, how do people reach out to you and get in hold of you for your services?
Well, you can go to my website, which is buttonitup.com. You can reach me. I do have a Facebook page, which is Button It Up, Inc. You have to put the ink in there. And just look up Button It Up on Google, and you'll find me. Like I say, if you look on the back of our little folders or little party photos, you'll find our information. But like I say, we have green screen, we have flip books, we have photo booth, and, of course, we now have the graffiti wall, which is something that's interactive. And so anytime you have an event that you just want photo ops as part of your party, whether it's a graduation party, bar and bat mitzvah, a wedding, corporate event, trade show, photo ops is the perfect addition to a party.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, it's great.
Thank you so much for being on.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Jessica, now it's time for our award winner segment of the show. So we have Lori McQueary, and if I'm not mistaken, she won best event over 20,000. Is that correct?
That's right. Well, best corporate event.
Best corporate event. Excuse
20,
me.
All correct.
Right.
Yes.
I'm butchering everything today. It's a great
<You're fine>.
Show. So Lori, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us a little
Thanks
bit about your
me.
Business.
Okay. Well, Destination South Meetings and Events is an Atlanta-based full-service meeting and event production company and DMC, and we've been in Atlanta for almost 18 years now.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's great.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about a DMC. I know what it is, but I know that there are some people that may not. So
Yes. Well, you'd be surprised because when you're in our industry, right. You think everybody understands everything about what you do. But we very often run into new potential clients and people that don't know what a DMC is and does.
I don't. I'm a layman.
And we're more than just a traditional DMC, and I'll get to that in a minute. But to try to simplify it, it's a destination management company. That would be in any city a company that is a local expert. When a corporation or an association traditionally is coming to a city and they have a conference to plan, mm-hmm. A trade show to plan, a show to do, a party to plan, they want that local expert. What a destination management company does is provides one point of contact. Your DMC knows all the best AV companies. They know all the best entertainment companies, the design companies, and they have built-in planners. So this potential client can come to the Atlanta expert to put together the nuts and bolts of whatever that experience is, whether it's a restaurant, dine-around kind of thing, a mm-hmm. party, a conference, a trade show, tours. Transportation's a big part of it as well.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's what a DMC in a nutshell does in cities worldwide, really.
That sounds perfect, especially for the corporate world where they want to just have one person that said, all right, I need this event. Make it great.
That happens a lot. We find ourselves working with people internally that are already planners in companies, mm-hmm. But they have so much on their plates that they can't handle it all. A lot of our clients have multiple meetings and trade shows and conferences each year, and so they're coming to Atlanta. They need help on the ground putting together that event.
Well, it's great if they're doing 5-7 events to have one person. They know that you're reliable and that you're going to get it done, and you get to do it all for them. It just makes their life so much easier, it seems like.
Yes, as little as they need us to do or as much. We're there for them for that.
Definitely. Well, walk me through an engagement, how that works.
Let's see. Well, it typically starts with an RFP, request for proposal. That's one of the channels. If it's not a word of mouth or a referral or a repeat piece of business, and the RFP will go out to usually several local DMCs or meeting and event production mm-hmm. companies. You're in a competitive situation. The client comes to you with what they need. They need conference management, and they need tours while they're here. They need transportation. They want to go off-site for a VIP dinner. They want to have a great party there last night. I'm describing kind of a large
Definitely.
Program. They're not always that comprehensive. But if you're lucky, you get a budget for all of those items. And then we get to work putting the pieces together, putting a proposal together, presenting it to the client, and trying to win the business. And then if we do secure the business, taking the creative, working in the operations team, mm-hmm. and executing it. With our local vendors.
Relationships seem to be probably the bread and butter of your company, making all these relationships and knowing people.
Yes, absolutely.
So how do you partner up with restaurants and different things? Do they give you special deals?
Well, that's a big part of what we do and a part of why we're involved in a lot of associations, because having good relationships with our local vendors is just as important as the relationships with the clients. Going to ISIS, going to NACE, going to MPI, seeing who's out there, who's in the industry, who's doing what, and maintaining contact, trying to stay ahead of the curve. Restaurants open and close in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You don't want to send a proposal and then realize that Buckhead restaurant closed last week.
Definitely.
So we do a lot of work to stay on top of what's happening in the city, fairs, festivals, restaurants, opening, closing, what's in theaters, what sporting events are coming. All of these things can come into play
based
on what a client wants to do with their event.
Well, that sounds awesome. I can't imagine being part of a company and they send you to Atlanta and I have to go to a Braves game, maybe go see the Hawks win a playoff game.
Sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it?
It sounds like a blast, and I've never heard of this. It's like you guys are behind the curtain. No one even knows about you guys.
We're like the Marines. We're the first ones there, and we're the last to leave. The event industry is a lot of fun, but like Sharon mentioned, we work really, really hard to make sure that everybody has the best time of their lives.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Is there a lot of competition out there? Because since I don't know, I haven't heard of a DMC before, is there a lot of competition here in Atlanta?
Yes, absolutely. There are several, if not a dozen, really strong destination management companies, as well as lots of independent planners mm-hmm. in Atlanta. You know, at any given time.
So what sets you guys apart?
Well, let's see. I think that we used to call it like a three-legged stool, but then someone told us we were a trifecta, and that sounds more elegant than three-legged stool. We're not just a DMC. Mm-hmm. We've evolved over a decade plus in that we also do full service meeting production, conference production, which some DMCs don't want to deal with.
Definitely.
And we also do full-scale shows, the AV production, the general session, set and stage design, script writing, video, marketing, and media. We can bring those pieces to the table as well if that's what the client is looking for. So definitely. Three areas.
Well, that's very logistical, I can imagine. A lot of logistics involved. How do you deal with when problems arise? Because I know definitely with the AV world, I used to work there, if something is going to go wrong, it normally does. So
I read something a long time ago when I first kind of got into the creative side of event planning, and that's that rookies plan for everything to go right and veterans plan for something to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn through experience. There's always going to be – I mean, you can check that production schedule 50 times. You can call every vendor twice the night before. And no matter what you do, things are always going to happen, and that's why trusted partners – are important that mm-hmm. you know are going to always make you look like a rock star mm-hmm. and that can think on their feet. And that's why our operations people are important. They stay really, really cool. You know, I'm creative and I can get all worked up. That emotional side tied to the idea, the vision. Mm-hmm. But the operations and logistics people,
it's a good balance.
Yeah. Like, okay, we can figure it out.
It's like a
come
marriage.
Come right over here. Just don't look behind the black curtain. We're going to figure it out. So...
how are you guys dealing with this big technology boom coming out with all the things? People can tweet from your event if something's going wrong. They'd be like, hey, that's a problem.
I was just talking about this last night with someone, actually. And I think we might all agree that social media is the best and worst thing that can happen to any business.
Definitely.
Yeah.
A user experience or an attendee experience, or even if you're just having a plate of pasta at a restaurant. You know, used to be if you didn't have a good experience, you'd tell your friends and it might not go that far. But now... you have at your fingertips the power to make sure that 5,000 of your nearest and dearest friends never go back to that restaurant.
Exactly.
You know, or don't book that venue. Don't go to that event. You know, a lot of our events are, we don't do social. So that's also a thing about Destination South. Social planners are brave people, but we just do corporate and association and nonprofit. So since they tend to be private, there's not traditionally media coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the event, but
or you could have your trusted media source, Business Radio X, there.
Right. Yes,
that is true,
and that's something that the client tends to line up if mm-hmm. they have media coverage. But a lot of times, they're private internal corporate events, and media is not a part of it.
Okay, definitely. Well, let's talk about the big event. Why everyone should hire you? You won an award, and what company are you doing that award with? And what did you do at that event?
Okay, well, it was an event at the aquarium. I don't know if I can say their name for privacy reasons. I didn't check it with them before I came
on
today.
That's fine. They'll be Company X.
But I can tell you what they do. They are a Netherlands-based – well, that's their headquarters.
Mm-hmm.
They're a worldwide association for marketing professionals. And they travel the world. And what we call a conference, they call their Congress.
I love that.
This was their 65th Congress, and it was here – in Atlanta. So they came, they had week-long meetings, product training sessions, the usual all-day breakout education, and their final night, they came to us, and we won the opportunity to produce their closing night gala at the Georgia Aquarium. And so basically, we worked with Wolfgang Puck to put together the menu. We put together the design of the event, the entertainment of the event. Mm-hmm. Our staff ran the event. So your perfect little gala evening package, you know, from start to finish. And we were able to do some really exciting design and entertainment for this particular event, which is what I think set it apart. The client, you know, when we read the RFP, they had, I think, 2 years ago been in a ruins of a medieval castle for that gala. So we were thinking, oh, how are we going to top this?
Wow.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have Atlanta is come on so strong recently with fantastic venues to host events, and the aquarium is no exception.
Definitely.
You get a client in front of those beluga whales in that viewing wall, and they're all of a sudden they're 7 years old again.
Exactly. We were broadcasting.
Kind of like the photo booth, you know, animals, people, it just, they reach people on
how would you
level.
Do decor in there? I mean, it's so beautiful to begin with. It would be hard to add to it without taking away.
Well, one of the things we like to say is work with a venue and not against it.
Yeah.
When we can. So, and the client wanted an elegant, kind of ethereal, aquatic environment. So we did some glowing orbs on the tables. We kind of wanted to make it look, and branches and coral and things like that, so that it was a hint of that aquatic environment without being over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then they wanted to do entertainment in a new way. They wanted to, we proposed to them to take it off of the stage. And so we put individual musicians on lit cubes out in the audience.
That's so cool.
But they had to be able to talk. So you're at a round of 10, and right next to you is this, you know, musician on a cube. So we had to work really closely with our AV production partner, and it had to be done really strategically, the sound, so that, and we used in-ear monitors. The musicians had to be able to hear each other and play to the same level, but you had to be able to talk right next to them.
Mm-hmm.
So working all of that was the biggest challenge and reward of the event, and we'd never done anything like that before. So I think we all just stood right at the beginning of the event when they let the door, when let everyone in, we just held our breaths and okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, we did a lot of sound checking, so we felt pretty confident. Yeah,
but it's still one of those things, you're nerve-wracking. I know when we set up different events here and you're doing the radio, you're like, well, everything worked fine 5 minutes ago, but is it going to work fine now? Because people are paying you a lot of money to make something magical.
And all of a sudden, there are 750 critics in the ballroom.
Exactly, all with their phones out.
Right. Tweeting about the event.
Well, tell us a little bit about the creative process. I know you're more on the creative side of the event. Production.
Yes, I get the best job.
I agree.
I agree.
Really believe that.
Yeah.
I really do. With our operations people and logistics team, kudos to them. But so what I get to do is I get to work with the client from the very beginning to come up with the creative concepts for the event. What is it going to look like? How's it going to be designed? Is there a theme that they want us to do, or is there not a theme that they don't want us to do? What entertainment should we use? And putting all of that together, going after the business, doing the presentation, which has really changed over the years.
Oh, definitely.
Back when I started doing this, I would be out in the garage spray mounting hand-drawn renderings to blackboards and then taking them, traveling to the client's office and sitting in front of them with these.
Right.
Here's a picture, a hand-drawn picture of what your event's going to look like in watercolor or pencil. And here's a hard copy of your proposal that's 60 pages in a binder.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just send it to me in email or just Dropbox it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And you very rarely now get the opportunity to do that face-to-face pitch with the client, which is really important because
Definitely.
It's about chemistry with the client as well.
Yeah.
And do they feel like they're going to work well with you on the event? And you can bring the event to life when you get a chance to talk about it. But now we're just pressing send and crossing our fingers and talking to them and saying, you know, can we follow up with a conference call? Can we Skype with you to talk, to pitch your ideas? And you don't always get that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So that proposal has got to, you know, really
Definitely.
Sell it.
Well,
yeah.
You bring up a great point. I know kids of this generation don't have to do that, and I think they're missing that element. Like, I think they should go back and have to do the old ways, because now that everyone thinks they can be an event planner, and they're just like, oh, it's so easy. I'll put an event together, and you talk to people, and they're either want to be a graphic designer, or they're like, I'll be an event planner. It'll be easy. I watched Van Wilder. I can do this. Okay, all right.
You do have the occasional conversation of someone that planned an event for their cousin or their sorority, and so they've decided they want to be an event planner.
Yeah.
And I will definitely take the opportunity to show them the dark side.
The dark side.
Just teasing.
But seriously.
What really goes into, you know, pulling together an event.
It is
a lot
more
of moving
work.
Parts.
If you gave it to somebody like, do you want this 9-to-5 job or do you want this 24/7 job, and you eat what you kill kind of world, like... I don't think many people be like, oh, that's event planning. Okay. But it is a lot of fun, too. I don't want to scare people off.
No, and I read something, and I'm not even sure if I believe it. I took it to the owner and founder of our company mm-hmm. and showed this to her that said event planning was on a stress level of jobs with, like, air traffic control.
I read that. It was the top. It was, like, number one.
How is that? You know, I mean, of course, you think.
You just don't have the right team, I don't think, if you're that stressed about it.
But how can it be that? It really can't be that stressful.
Go try to be an aircraft traffic controller for a little bit, see if it's more stressful.
Right? Well, what advice would you give someone that is trying to get into the event industry to get their start?
Oh, gosh. Advice. I think internships are a fantastic way. We have had some amazing interns over the years. And it's a great way to get in and see if it's right for you and to understand the many different hats that you have to wear as an event planner and to see if you like the marketing side of it and the creative side of it and sales, or if you really are a spreadsheet person and you love the details and mm-hmm. when who's going to arrive and how long it's going to take them to set up mm-hmm. and how long will it take to get all the tables dropped and sorting all the vendor schedules out and that and seeing which area of it
right.
appeals to you the most, because people tend to like one side of it or the other a little bit more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's great advice.
So what's next, Lori? Any big events coming up?
Yes.
Any actually, you can talk about?
we have some large outdoor events coming up in July. And we're actually like doing RFPs, proposals for mm-hmm. a lot of events coming up in the fall. And people talk about this all the time. Have we seen a resurgence, you know, in events? Because events took a real hit a few years ago. And I think the industry really gathered together to prove the importance of face-to-face engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And how you mentioned, it's never going to go away because we still need that. Weeded out all those
other wannabes, too.
You know, you can mm-hmm. do the Skyping and you can do the online virtual meetings, but everybody needs to get together.
Definitely.
And that's what keeps our industry going. So your question about busyness, I think it's coming back.
That's great.
I don't think events have the budgets that they did 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But more smaller events mm-hmm. can do just as well as 3 or 4 really big ones.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, how do people reach out to you and get with your company?
Okay. We are on www.destinationsouth.com is our website. We also have a Facebook presence and a Twitter presence, as well as LinkedIn. And you can email our sales director at klusk@destinationsouth.com, Kelly Lusk, and she can tell you everything about Destination South that you might want to know.
Lori, thank you so much for being on and giving us such great information.
Thank you.
And congratulations on your award once again.
Thank you very much.
Well, we're just about to wrap up, Jessica.
Yeah?
How's your Ventrapreneurs group going? I always like to check in with that.
It's great. It's an event. Industry professionals and entrepreneurs meet and kind of collaborate and talk, and it's a lot less of the ads and selling yourself, more tips and advice and things that we've learned.
Educational.
Yes. The educational pieces that we've learned from being in the industry and sharing those with each other. So it's awesome. Great.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks everyone for coming on the show today. We really appreciated having you. This is Kevin Finn for Jessica Park and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you next time on Meeting Pros.